Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dave Burkett joins us now. Dave, what's going on, man?
What's up, Mike? How are you?
I'm good. Did you get any rest this weekend? Are you coming out the other side okay?
Oh man, it was a long couple of days, even longer I think than normal. But yeah, I'm good now. So
all right,
hanging out with the kids.
We've hammered on the first round thing, and we can move on from it. I'm intrigued. I don't understand why there's so much negativity about the second round pick. You know, I love Swift. I was elated. There's going to be a lion I can root for. What did you make of the pick at 35 of DeAndre Swift?
Oh, I liked it. I mean, you know, I sort of, as I was handing out my draft grades, and I guess I kind of do this every year, as much as those things are kind of silly to do, like, I weight them heavily towards the first two picks. And Okuda, like you said, talked about it plenty, right? No trade there. So I like the player. But round two, I thought they got the best running back in the draft. And I know some people said, the value of running backs. Mike, to me, listen, that's a good spot to take a running back, because you want to pay a running back in his first 4 years in the league, 5 years in the league. And so, yes, it's a valuable draft pick, and yes, you could have had a defensive lineman, but I think there's some value to getting a young running back on a rookie contract that you're going to give the ball to a whole bunch over the next 4 or 5 years, and you're going to get his best years out of him.
Do you put anything to it, and I know some people might laugh at me for this, but I like the fact he's got more tread on the tire than, let's say, a Jonathan Taylor, a guy who just got pounded on. Swift right. was not lightly used, but way less. Am I crazy to like that, think of it that way?
No, not at all. I mean, I think that's part of why he was viewed as the best back in the draft. I mean, look, Taylor had a great combine, obviously, and you know, he had the fumble problems, and maybe that you know, put him a peg below Swift to begin with. But I think you're right. You know, he came into Georgia. He played as a freshman, even though he was, you know, he was behind Chubb and Michelle. He still got some run there. And then even in year two, when he was the guy, Holyfield was still getting, you know, splitting carries with him. So I think he still has a lot left to give. And I think the Lions are going to get the best years out of him. Absolutely.
What do you make of the third round selection? I feel like if Julian Okorah doesn't break his leg at Notre Dame and miss the last six, seven games, that he might be a first round pick. I love that pick too, believe it or not. Two positive things for me in a row.
You know, I got mixed feedback on him from NFL guys, but I think you're right that his talent, the talent is absolutely there to develop into. You know, he's probably going to be a situational pass rusher to start with, but you could see him as this team's, you know, outside linebacker before too long. And we all know they need some pass rush. So I mean, I like the pick. You know, I thought they had a bigger need on the interior defensive line than what he's going to play this year. So it might not have been the exact way that I went if I was making the selections, but I can't quibble with it too much for exactly the reason that you said. High upside,
what was,
position of need.
What was the pick that if you were running it, you would have done differently? Just one that stuck out to you and you went, nope, not doing that.
Well, you know, I sort of wrote this in my grades too, you know, Cephas in the fifth round. And it wasn't, it's not so much for him as a player. I mean, the 4.7 40 at the combine is alarming, but I just thought, you know, from where the organization was a couple of years ago, I didn't think that was the right 2018, you know, with everything they went through with Matt Patricia, frankly, I didn't think that was the right pick for them in a deep receiver draft. I think he can be a good player for them, you know, in time. Obviously, he's not going to play a ton this year. But, you know, just I was a little surprised they kept him on the board.
Were you surprised they went back-to-back guard, pick 75 and 121?
No, because, you know, I think – know, that's the area that you take them, first of all, right? It's like, sort of like Graham Glasgow a few years ago, you could get a starter in that area. And then, so, you know, I think Jonah Jackson, they got their hands on him at the Senior Bowl, know him, like him. He's probably a starter for them this fall. But, Mike, you know, I've written this before, too, that they have – there's some questions about Joe Dahl's long-term health. And, you know, I have no problem doubling up there because I think – you know, the offensive line has been a position of need for so long for this team and what they want to be with the way they want to run the football. You know, the Stenberg kid, you know, I had a scout text me, you know, during the draft after that pick, and he just said, you know, he's the nastiest player in the draft. Let's put it like that. And, you know, he meant it in the nicest way. So I think he's what you want an offensive lineman to be. You just have to see if the athleticism, you know, if he can stand up to being a starter long term.
The one puzzle to me was, and again, maybe they view their defensive line as better than we do, but not taking
right.
a D lineman until pick 197, the sixth round. Dave, help me, because they have $30 million in cap space. They didn't yeah. fix the D line, and they didn't really do much here to address it. What am I missing?
Nothing. I'm with you. I mean, that was the biggest mystery, you know, of the draft to me, and that's why I said with the Aquara pick that – you know, I might have, you know, like preferred to see them go in a different direction. I mean, so here's the deal, right? Obviously, if they would have traded down at three, right, you go down to five, you get another pick, that's where that they missed that need, right? They could have filled that need somewhere else in the second round, third round, whatever. And that's the only thing that I, you know, I come away looking at this draft and saying that's where they failed. You know, I love the draft class as a whole, but I think that's the one area that they've left themselves short at. And, Mike, I'll say this for it, though. You know, mm-hmm. As we talked last week, they need difference makers up there more than anything. They got a lot of bodies. They got guys that they can rotate in and out. And you know, as the draft was going on, you just weren't going to get a difference maker. So, Penasini, the sixth round pick, you know, he's just a run plugger, a backup for Shelton, but maybe he can be a rotational guy, which ultimately, had they taken someone in round four, let's say, that's probably what the guy would have been anyway.
So, last one for you, and then just one about the draft overall. What are they going to do with all this cap space? I understand they're not a popular destination. I don't think players want to play for this regime, not necessarily play in Detroit. Dave, they got a hell of a lot of cap space. Take me through the virtual offseason here. Are we gonna see them make a bold play here? Like, I mean, am I going to watch Yannick Ngakoue show up? I mean, what am I missing here?
I don't think Ngakoue, I don't think Clowney, I don't think any of that is happening. I think, you know, they will use some of it to give Kenny Golladay a nice extension this summer. You know, they can probably front load some of that money and you know, help themselves in cap, you know, for future years. You know, the one thing Bob Quinn said, he was asked about that, oh, I think it was before the draft, and he said that, you know, I think he phrased it like, you guys sort of understand that there's other, you know, restraints that you have. So the Lions spent a lot on contracts last year. It always seemed like they just were not going to be big players when it comes to a financial, you know, outlay standpoint, I guess, in the money that they give guys up front this spring. So they filled some needs, but they didn't go big time shopping. And I don't think that's going to change. They have some cushion if something pops up in a trade where they can handle a big money guy come fall. But I think you'll see some of that money go to Kenny Golladay. And they'd like to get Taylor Decker done as well. I don't know if that'll happen this summer, but my understanding is they'd like to re-sign him too.
Dave, why are they running to re-sign what he just looks like a league average left tackle? Why would you run to re-sign that?
I mean, I think, you know, as they look at it, you know, first of all, you know, Taylor, obviously he had the injury and that sort of set him back sort of, you know, year two, year three, a little bit. He had the rough start last year, but, you know, I think they look at him as a little above average tackle. And look, those guys don't get, you know, $18 million a year, but I think there is some value in having a young tackle still on the roster like that. And so, you know, it's going to come down to where the money is for him, obviously, if they do get something done, but they would prefer to spend at left tackle, right tackle, center on their offensive line. And rather than leave that be a big hole for 2021, I think they'd like to get Taylor locked up for a couple of years.
All right, last one. It's just the overall feeling of the division. Forget about the rest of the league. You've seen the offseason. You've seen the draft. Rank the NFC North teams in the mind of Dave Burkett as we head towards virtual summer.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good one, because I was thinking about this a little bit Saturday night, and who's the favorite and who checks in number four. Mike, I don't think the NFC North is this great division that's going to be impossible for the Lions or for any team to surmount, right? Like, there's no Kansas City Chiefs team. There's no dominant team that you look at and go, that team's going to make the Super Bowl. So, you know, for starters, I think, you know, just about everyone has some sort of a shot. To me, the Vikings are the team to beat, even with Kirk Cousins at quarterback and, you know, a little bit of age on that defense. I like what they did in the draft. I thought they were the best team last year, even though the Packers won it. So I would put them number one. Look, the Packers, I would probably put them number two still, but, God, their draft didn't make a lot of sense to me. I got to wonder what that Jordan Love pick is going to mean for Aaron Rodgers and for everyone. You know, they were kind of looked like they were living on borrowed time a little bit last year with all the close games. So I expect them to have a little bit of a regression. But I think the Lions and Bears battle it out for number three. And frankly, I like Stafford better than whoever's, you know, pulling the trigger for the Bears. So I might even put them number three for right now. But I think it's a pretty balanced division. I don't think we're going to have a 12-win team in the NFC North, and we're probably not going to have a 5-win team either.
No. Dave, you've been great throughout it. Get some rest. Try to enjoy the weather a little bit. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon, okay?
You got it, Prem. We'll talk to you.
Yes, sir. Dave Burkett, best in the game. You want to rap about his draft thoughts? We're here for that, too. 97.1.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.